first case in our calendar is 97-1214, Berger Iron Company, Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner, Mr. Duffy.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. The case involves an Ohio franchise tax issue, specifically a legal issue, how you can construe and apply the special sinusing provision 5733.05A governing the sinusing of investments in controlling interest of a subsidiary corporation for that for property tax purposes. This Court considered the constitutionality of this provision once before in the Armour case, but other than that, it's never been the subject of any other decision by this Court. What is interesting about this case is that the Attorney General addressed the ambiguity in this section in an opinion back in 1932 and answered the question, and that was the construction and application of the statute until the Commissioner decided to apply the rule. When intangible property taxes enacted back in 1931, the General Assembly also amended the Franchise Tax Code to say that all investments should be sinused to Ohio based on the ratio of the based on the value of the physical property in and out of Ohio representing such investments. Well, the statutory term investments included a lot of different kinds of instruments, not only capital stock, but bonds, certificates of deposits, trust instruments, things like that. And the Attorney General looked at this provision and said the language is ambiguous in terms of what representing, what physical property represents such investments. He also noted the trouble that corporate franchise taxpayers would have in finding out what the value of physical property was and where it was located. But he concluded in his opinion in 1932 that you look to the physical property owned by the issuer of the investment only to determine how that investment should be allocated.
And that issue, doesn't BICO here really own these six sub-corporations?
No. They have a wholly owned subsidiary that owns these six corporations.
And they own the wholly owned subsidiary.
Right.
Then why shouldn't we apply the look-through rule to really see, almost like piercing the corporate veil, why don't we look to see who really is the owner for situs purposes for taxing?
Well, a corporation is only the owner of the stock it holds. It doesn't own the other corporations. Legal ownership of stock is in the person who the shares of stock are issued to. Court has always held that corporations are different persons of taxation in Ohio. A parent is not the same as a subsidiary. A parent is not the same as an indirect subsidiary.
Would we then not be authorizing or permitting the setting up of shell corporations to own other corporations in order to avoid tax?
Would be authorizing that to occur. The rule applied by the Board of Tax Appeals in a prior case when a franchise taxpayer owned a subsidiary that it itself had no physical assets at all. The court and the Board of the Postal National case said that when the controlled subsidiary of a corporate taxpayer only owns no physical assets or only a token amount of physical assets, then you should do a look through. And that was what was the Commissioner put in the instructions to the Ohio Franchise Tax Return after the Cliffs International case, that now he's decided that he wants to ignore $2 million worth of physical assets owned by the controlled subsidiary and look through to these other entities.
I guess what I was thinking about is supposing that the Chrysler Corporation, having merged with Mercedes-Benz sets up Chrysler as a sub-corporation of Mercedes-Benz, and the Jeep Corporation in Toledo then is a sub of Chrysler. No taxes paid by the Jeep Corporation because all Mercedes, or by Mercedes-Benz because all they own is is the stock of Chrysler?
No, it's not a matter of tax being paid. What you're doing is you're trying to determine the apportionment
yes.
for the taxpayer. And in that situation, no portion, no value of the investment of that subsidiary can be included in the numerator of the apportionment bracket.
But all six of these sub-corporations are Ohio corporations, aren't they?
They all pay Ohio franchise tax based on that income.
So it's the apportionment, really, that we're concerned
with. The apportionment of the parent net worth apportionment back.
If the Ohio companies pay franchise tax, and we apply a look-through standard, aren't we in effect looking at a double taxation for franchise tax to the parent company?
That is true.
Burger Irons
converted to a quiescent holding company and restructured itself so as to insulate itself from liability because a couple of the Ohio subs were involved in rather risky construction ventures. And at the time the law was, at the time they did this, the company knew that it would pay a net worth-based tax. But the statute clearly provided that the investment in its only controlled subsidiary, Eco Michigan, would be silenced based on the value of the physical property owned by Eco Michigan only. The commissioner decided after the Klisner National case was decided that he's going to extend the holding in that case and try to turn 60 years of the way a statute has been applied and construed in Ohio, turn on its head and now say, we're going to make you look down through, and if you can find a controlling investment in a subsidiary corporation, a lower tier entity, or a controlling interest in a partnership in a lower tier entity, you have to go find out where the physical property of each of those entities is located and what the value of it is, and every year you have to do this in order to compute your franchise tax. And today, it's not unusual to find, you know, a parent holding company owning 100, 200 subsidiary corporations. And below that, and I'm not talking about in the aggregate, but it can be a combination of, you know, divisional holding companies you own direct, indirectly, direct or indirectly, other partnerships, limited liability companies, and corporations.
But is it really a double taxation? Because obviously the Ohio corporations have to pay the franchise tax. Now we're just talking about allocating property for the tax. It's a different kind of a tax. I guess my concern is that the Burger Iron Company is an Ohio corporation, right? And it owns BICO of Michigan 100%. And BICO of Michigan then owns all six Ohio corporations.
Right.
Now, do any of the Ohio corporations pay tax to Michigan?
I can't answer that. They may be subject to the single business tax in Michigan, but they're all subject to tax in Ohio.
Well, the franchise tax, for sure.
Yes.
But would they not? What about the tax on the property? The only place it could be taxed is in Ohio. Can't be taxed in Michigan.
Well, sure, the Ohio corporations pay personal property taxes on the tangible personal property owned and on the real property. But this is, again, it's not a tax on the property. This is a statute. We're dealing with a statute that tells you how to compute the property fraction for net worth apportionment purposes. In Ohio, for net worth taxation, you take the total net worth of the corporation. That's not in dispute here.
Mm-hmm.
You divide it in half. You allocate one half based on a property factor. You allocate the other half based on a business done factor. For net worth property tax purposes, you look at all the real, tangible, and intangible personal property owned by the corporation and used in business in this state. For net income purposes, you only look at real and personal property. Intangible property is not included. Intangible property has always been included since we have the franchise tax in terms of fashioning the property factor. But the special sizing provision with respect to a controlling interest in an investment, and now a subsidiary corporation wasn't added until the early 30s. And from 1933 to 1990, the statute was not construed as applying a look-through. And the Attorney General said in 1932, you don't look through. You only look at the physical property owned by the issuing corporation. That's the way the law was applied for 60 years until the commissioner decided that he was going to litigate this issue. Now, with regard to Berger's restructuring, it is ending up paying more tax to Ohio than it would have paid if it did restructure, because the commissioner wants to do this look-through analysis. If there are no further questions, I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Mr. Farron.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court.
You back trying to double tax some more people? Every week you come in here trying to double tax somebody.
What Berger Iron Company is being subject to is an Ohio corporate franchise tax on its privilege of doing business as a corporation in this state. This deals with the calculation of the apportionment of its net worth, which is the basis upon which it reported. And one thing at the outset I'd like to point out, the tax commissioner did not change the past practice to go to a look-through provision. The tax commissioner had always applied the statute in a manner that would look to the whether there was fiscal property in the first tier. If there was no such property in the first tier, it applied the commercial domicile or the business situs rule. It was taxpayers who challenged that provision, Cliffs International. Mr. Duffy represented them. They argued for a look-through provision because in that case, the first tier sub had no property, but the commercial domicile would have been Ohio. They didn't want that property allocated to Ohio because it increased their liability in that case. So the board accepted their argument and adopted a look-through provision. Taxpayers in Dana Corp and United Financial Holding also argued in labor cases for the look-through provision and argued for it in the Dana Corporation, even though the first-tier subsidiary did have fiscal property. In each of those cases, it was the taxpayer who argued for the look-through and the expansion of the look-through provision.
Since we have this dispute over look-through that isn't in the statute, why don't we just read the statute and decide that the General Assembly hasn't provided for look-through? The words are pretty clear. I know you rely on the state representing such investment property in the United States, but the General Assembly can really make this clear if they want the allocation to go to the, that they want the second and third tier subs to be allocated.
Let me start off with one answer that maybe takes care of a lot of problems in this case. This provision no longer exists as of 1999. In the recent budget bill, the General Assembly did away with the separate factors for the net worth basis. They now simply use the same factors that they use for the net income basis, and this particular provision is not found anywhere in that. In that statute.
What's the effect of that? What
this
was the effect of that?
It had no impact on 8 years beginning 1999.
If the new statute would be applied to this case, which it wouldn't be, but if it was, what would be the effect of the practical effect of the change in the law?
The investment in the subsidiary would not even be considered in the net income property factor, which would be a factor that would be applied to the net worth now. It doesn't. The net income property factor only considers tangible personal property, real property. It does not consider intangible personal property. So as a result of House Bill 215, this case will have no impact in the future. Now, it may have an impact on matters that are still open either under statute of limitations or matters that are currently pending on either refund claims or petitions for assessment. And frankly, I have no idea of whether there is much out there on those matters.
You would be able to claim your free debt that would be paying franchise tax. There's no duty to structure a corporation to pay tax. I mean, that's all right. He would you hire myriad of accountants to look at tax on, figure out how to apply them to the best advantage. What's wrong with that?
That's absolutely correct, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I did not say that that's the reason why you cannot do it. I simply pointed that back out to, as a construction manager. This statute is, I think everybody would agree in being this. I can't stand here and say it clearly says one thing or another. I use the term representing such investments. But where a statute is ambiguous, you look at various rules of construction, and one is the reasonableness of the construction. And I think, as the armor company, which was cited by the taxpayer in this case, said, one of the ways you look at statutes to avoid this particular type of manipulation where a corporation can restructure its operations to avoid the tax that it previously had been required to pay. I was simply pointing that possibility out as an argument that the statute should not be construed in such a manner as to allow this easy manipulation. And it's clear that a corporation can very easily structure itself to cite all of its investment in controlled subsidiaries outside of the state by doing exactly what your iron company did in this case.
But you're already getting franchise taxes from all companies in Ohio, aren't you?
We're getting franchise taxes from Ohio corporations that are exercising their privilege to do business.
Now
the subsidiaries are paying on their net income.
And you want now what you consider the very fair company that you got to the two levels to get there to pay the franchise tax based on those companies doing business in Ohio?
No. Not at all. The net income upon which those Ohio subs are paying tax is not considered at all in the parent company's tax. The property is only used in determining how to allocate Berger Iron Company's net worth. It's not adding any additional tax. We know what the net worth liability is, and that it's simply allocated in and out of Ohio.
Don't you use the same formula to determine what the franchise tax obligation is?
You would not use that same property, particularly because these lower tier subs are paying on a net income basis. They did not pay on a net worth basis. But in any event, we're talking about a separate corporation. Each of them is exercising the privilege of doing business as a corporation that chose to do that. They each owe a franchise tax as a result of exercising that privilege. There simply is no double tax. Each corporation is paying its own franchise tax. I would point out that with respect to the lower tier corporations, they also have liabilities that offset any of their tax because of the loans made from the parent through the mutual corporation to the subsidiary. So there are a lot of factors that you would have to look at to decide whether they're actually paying more or less. Mr. Gundy says they're paying more. There's absolutely no evidence to that. Whether they're paying more or less is simply unclear in the record, but they're only paying the tax that is due to them as a corporation for the reason that they are themselves conducting business as a corporation in the state. The Board of Tax Appeals reviewed its decisions in Cliffs, Dana, and Diamond Financial Holdings and concluded that the tax commissioner's application of the net worth apportionment provision was in accordance with its prior decisions applying the look-through provision. The tax commissioner considered the property of all of the tiers, both the first tier and the lower tiers, in determining that factor. On the other hand, Berger Iron Company considered only the physical property of the first tier sub, FICO Michigan. All of FICO Michigan's personal property, tangible physical property, was in Michigan, and as a result, none of that investment was included in the Ohio property factor. Because a fair extent of the physical property of the lower tier subs was located in Ohio.
Yeah, but none of the property of the owning corporation is sited in Ohio.
The only corporation that had property sited in Ohio were the lower tier subsidiaries.
So BICO, the Michigan corporation, there was no property owned by them directly sited in Ohio.
That's correct. It was a Michigan operating company.
Yeah.
It was
Now, isn't that what you're trying to tax?
No, we're not trying to tax any property itself. We are simply trying to allocate the net worth of Berger Iron Company. The net worth is comprised of various assets, including investments in subsidiaries. Clearly, the investment in Micro Michigan is included within the general net worth calculation of Berger Iron Company. We then go to the net worth property allocation factor and determine what portion of that net worth is going to be taxed to Ohio, what portion is going to be cited outside of Ohio. That is all this allocation formula does.
You know, it intrigues me that these taxing statutes that we've been looking at for so many years are so specific, and you have formulas how to do all of this. And in this particular case, suddenly the commissioner has no formula on to do what he wants to do, so he invents one. It maybe invents is too strong a word. He creates one. He creates a formula, and it ends up at 90%. Shouldn't we look a little...
Well, I would suggest
carefully at that.
We didn't create the formula whatsoever.
No, I know the tax commissioner did.
No, the tax commissioner did not create this formula. The tax commissioner's policy prior to the board's decision in Cliffs, which went in accord with the taxpayer's arguments, did not look through. We did not see a look-through provision in the statute. I will admit here, it's ambiguous, and I can accept either argument. You can either read it as looking through using a broader reading of the term representing, or you can look at a much more narrow term. The Board of Tax Appeals accepted the taxpayer's argument that you read it broadly and that representing means you look through the physical property of all tiers. It's not just physical property owned by the controlled corporation.
On the theory, because the investment in the second, or the property held by the second and third tier companies is considered to be a property representing an investment.
Exactly.
That derives, that gives value to the company, the subsidiary that is being held, that BICO does have the stock.
That's correct, and I think that's a reasonable construction of the statute when you look at the purpose of the franchise tax. I believe it was also reasonable for the tax commissioner in the case to argue the contrary, but the Board of Tax Appeals made a holding. The tax commissioner has followed that holding. And in this case, that particular look-through formula disfavors the taxpayer in this case. But that's not a proper basis to change back and forth the construction of the statute.
Well, if we read it the way Mr. Duffy wants us to, it has to apply in the next case against the taxpayer, if it's against the taxpayer, obviously.
That's correct.
Statutory construction has to apply both ways, against both parties.
That's correct. The problem that we would have is that since CLIPS was decided, that it has been carried out, a look-through rule has been applied, and if that rule now is changed because another taxpayer doesn't particularly like it under its particular circumstances, that's going to open up the issue for all pending matters, in fact, all matters that have transpired for the past 4 years and the statute of limitations. It won't have a future impact, so a new construction is going to change the future operations, the future application of the provision. It will cause some confusion, perhaps some litigation with respect to pending matters and matters up through 1999. Other than that, it obviously will have no impact whatsoever. And I think the basic flaw in the argument that is made in this case by Berger Iron is seen in a review of this proposition of law. The proposition of law states that the allocation provision requires that an investment in a controlled subsidiary be allocated in and out of Ohio in accordance with physical property in and out of Ohio owned by the controlled corporation. Well, that's not what the statute says, and if the General Assembly wanted to restrict the physical property that was considered to the controlled corporation, it could have used the term owned. Because it used a more general term representing, I believe the Board of Tax Appeals ruling in this case Cliffs International, the taxpayers used that very argument. They pointed out, the statute doesn't use the term own, it used the term representative.
If BICO was an Ohio corporation and owned 6 subs in Michigan,
yes,
would Michigan look through to Ohio and tax the Ohio corporation?
Michigan has an odd statute, a single business tax, which doesn't go through all of this.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know what they would, I don't know how they would calculate it, even if they had a statute so in regards, but because their state is so unique and having a single business tax, it's difficult to get any correlation between that. The point is, if you accept a look-through provision, the only proper argument is you look through everything, because if the physical property of a lower-tier subsidiary does, in fact, represent the investment in a controlled corporation, there is no basis to stop at the first tier. If in fact, look-through is correct, then you have to look through every tier of the corporation that has some control, because that represents the controlled corporation investment.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Duffy, you've saved almost 4.5 minutes of your time.
I have several points to make. First of all, with regard to the change in the law, Berger Iron Company is facing 9 years of deficiency assessments as a result of the commissioner's change in the policy. Mr. Barron is right. General Assembly did change the law. Now, all corporations other than financial institutions and qualifying holding companies only pay a tax measured by net income. They aren't subjected to net worth. Qualifying holding companies are subjected to net worth, and that's what Berger Iron Company is now under the new statute. But its net worth is apportioned now using the net income apportionment factors, which does not include tangible personal property. Therefore, that is why it is not an issue. Financial institutions are still, their net worth is still apportioned the way it was, and the General Assembly specifically rewrote the law governing controlling investments in subsidiary corporations and loans and advances to make it clear that you now do look down through the tiers. And so the law specifically provides that. The General Assembly, the Commissioner thought that's the way the law should have read. He should have gone to the General Assembly back then and gotten the law changed, but he doesn't go to the Board of Tax Appeals to do it. With respect to the Cliffs International case, that case arose because the commissioner took the position that if you own a controlling investment in a subsidiary corporation that owns no physical assets at all, you don't apply the special citizen provision. You apply the general citizen provisions applicable to all intangible property. Cliffs International in that case said no. In Armour & Company, this court said the special citizen provision governs. And Cliffs argued in that case that if the controlled subsidiary owns no physical property anywhere, that ends the question. There is no physical property of the issuing corporation in Ohio representing the investment. Cliffs argued in the alternative, if the board was not going to accept that argument, then instead of going back to the general citizen provisions in order to apply the special provision when the subsidiary itself owned no physical assets at all, you could look down to the lower tier entities. And indeed, that is what the board held in that case. It held when the controlled subsidiary itself owns no physical property or only an insignificant amount, then you might look down to lower tier entities. But they didn't say that you do that in all cases.
Well, what's the distinction, though, counsel? If it makes good sense to look through where there isn't any property at the second level, why not? Where there is.
I don't think it makes good sense to look through it all. I think that the board was wrong in Cliffs. They should have applied the rule as it was written the way the Attorney General construed it.
Was Cliffs appealed?
No, because Cliffs won the case anyway. All the physical property, no matter how far you look down, is all located in Australia. And that, in the Cliffs case, the record reflected, that the only reason that that tier ownership is set up is for some federal tax provision governing interest in foreign countries. It didn't have anything to do with Ohio franchise tax purposes. One other point Mr. Farron made that I think the court needs to consider. The only reason the Berger Iron faces this tax is because they're an Ohio corporation. When they reorganized, if they had reincorporated as a Delaware corporation, they wouldn't be subject to franchise tax anymore. But all domestic corporations have to pay the tax. But there are quiescent holding companies in Ohio that are headquartered here that don't pay the franchise tax. And all Berger is asking for is the statute be applied the way the Attorney General construed it back in 1932. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.